This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 The Source. I'm Ray Brewer alongside my colleagues here at The Sun, Case Kiefer, Taylor Byrne. We're here every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., breaking down the Southern Nevada sports scene. And the news, Taylor, on your beat keeps coming in rather fast. UNLV makes an announcement Monday that effective July 1, the interim AD, a familiar name in the community, Tina Kunzer Murphy, will take over the reins as the UNLV athletic director, only temporarily.
That's right. And you would know this better than I, but she was among the names, I think, tossed around back when Jim was hired 3.5 years ago. She's been in the community, was the director of the formerly known as the Mako Bowl Las Vegas, currently the Las Vegas Bowl, for 10 years before stepping down. I want to say it was a year and a half ago. She's been just kind of helping out around the community since then. She was a part of the group to get the Tark statue made and kind of get that up and running and trying to raise the funds for that and the scholarship fund attached to it. That's been a project of hers lately. And so, you know, been involved with the university. I had actually heard over the weekend that this may be the route that Neil Smatris and the university were going to go. And I can't, you know, she was on my short list of names anyway, of just of people that I certainly figured that they would consider. So this is, you know, like I said, I spoke with Neil, not planning on considering the interim for the full-time job, but I'm sure people have gone into it thinking that before, and it's changed, you know, kind of a never say never thing, but this is not supposed to lead to her possibly becoming the full time.
And right now, she's the director of alumni relations at UNLV, a UNLV graduate as well. And I think when you talk about the athletic director search, it could go one of two ways. Somebody from the outside like Jim was, who's got a track record as an athletic director. If you look when he got the job 3 years ago, the other folks that he was up against were also guys with a lot of experience. Or you could go the local route to somebody who's real familiar with the community, somebody who's respected and can continue the fundraising and likely could be cheaper. We don't want to throw around any names right now because it'd be pure speculation, but there's always about three people in town who are mentioned every time the job goes open, and Tina's obviously one of those three. Some things you need to know about her, in terms of local sports, she knows it all. She's part of the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. She was a star tennis player at Valley. I think she might have been a tennis coach at UNLV briefly, Taylor. I'm going to have to confirm that for everybody. And she's probably the first lady of Las Vegas sports, in my opinion. Great job by UNLV. She's definitely someone who's going to be able to she was a former women's tennis coach. And I think she's definitely going to be able to – she knows what the university needs to be successful. And I think it's a good fit, especially if it's just in the interim.
Yeah, and this is essentially a hire for the least busy months of the athletics calendar. When you're looking at July 1 to, you know, whether it's September or October, just kind of over the summer is mostly when they're kind of preparing more than enacting a lot of things. There's not a lot of sports actually going on. It's a lot of setting up type of stuff. And so this is just supposed to be someone who can make a clean handoff, basically somebody who can help get you from A to B, being, you know, A being Jim and B being the person that you decide to bring in. But you're right, she's always been involved in the university for the last, you know, 15 years, at least. And there's just something to be said for someone that kind of has the name recognition with a lot of people already. You know, some of it positive, some of it negative. I think anytime you work, this long in one place, not everyone's going to agree with you. You know, she stepped down from leading the bowl, and a lot of people kind of thought there could be more there. But you know, she said it was just to move on to other things. But as far as a short term hire, I think I think it certainly makes sense from the university's standpoint.
Let me give you her bio real fast. She was the senior associate AD at Pacific in the early 90s. Before that, she had several roles at UNLV from 77 to 92, ranging from women's tennis coach to senior assistant athletic director. She also managed the WAC football conference and basketball tournaments for Las Vegas events. She was inducted in the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame in 2007. She was the first woman to serve as a chairman of the Football Bowl Association. In 2011, she was honored as the Las Vegas Sports Person of the Year. And get this, in 2008, the Las Vegas Sun, our employer, this is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, ranked her as one of the top 10 most influential people in sports in our town.
Yeah, so, and I think that was probably accurate. You know, I don't know if she's quite there.
Well, your number is what, three or four, right?
I am not anywhere on that list whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, she's had a lot of name recognition, a lot of important decisions to be made in town for a while now. So that's why I think it makes sense from the university's standpoint.
Well, we're the UNLV athletic department changing right before our eyes. Tina Kunzer Murphy, the new interim AD, announced Monday. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. We're here every Tuesday, 7 a.m. You're waking up with the sun. Our news gatherers every day during the week are talking at 7 a.m. about what's on their beat. Business, entertainment, politics, social arts, you name it, we talk about it right here on The Source 91.5. Switching gears here, about 10 minutes past the hour, bringing Case Kiefer, our UFC MMA beat writer and all-around great guy. Big card in town, Saturday night, MGM Grand Garden, UFC 160. And as many longtime listeners know, I stumble a little bit. I'm learning about the UFC week by week and getting better from where I was this time last year, Case.
True, but the crazy thing is you've been around it longer than I have. I think the first event you covered is probably even like somewhere in the early hundreds or before that.
I started before you, but it was like I drove the car across the line and then I got out of it and ran back.
I understand. I just was pointing out that when you said UFC 160, it took me back. It's crazy that to me that I took over this beat at UFC 125. So now that's 35 pay-per-views ago.
You're an encyclopedia of the UFC, and you've been to what, probably 30 of those 35?
There's quite a few international ones in there, so I'd probably say 20 to 25 max.
20 to 25 max. For me, what stands out about Saturday's card is I judge a card strength on the names I could recognize, and usually about fight six or seven, I'm just like, who's this guy? But this card's, as we talked about offline, it's deep. It's got a lot of good fighters and a lot of guys that are recognizable, Case.
Right. Well, for the second Memorial Day weekend in a row, the Memorial Day weekend card always in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, but it's really centered around heavyweights. Not the entire main card this time, but the top two fights. You have the two best heavyweights in the world, just about without any doubt, Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos. For once, it seems not fighting each other, as Cain Velasquez is going to face Bigfoot Silva in a rematch for the heavyweight title, who Bigfoot Silva just upset Alistair Overeem, or everyone thought this fight was going to be Velasquez and Overeem. And then you have Junior Dos Santos against Mark Hunt, former K-1 champion, one of the best kickboxers in the world, who's on just a crazy run in mixed martial arts that no one thought he would be in. So pretty good up on top. I know you're always into the heavyweights, and so is everyone else. The pay-per-view sales are always bigger when heavyweights are involved, and I certainly think that's going to carry over with two pretty fascinating heavyweight fights this weekend.
Yeah, I really agree with you. I remember when Cain Velasquez kind of arrived on the scene, and he upset Brock.
Brock Lesnar. It was almost a slight upset. Brock was like minus 150. He could have kind of gone either way.
In Anaheim, right?
In Anaheim, correct. There you go.
I just got to give myself a lot of credit. But real intriguing main event. Silva, I had over him in the fight when he beat him about, what, 4 or 5 months ago. and Velasquez, who's 11-1 in the UFC and more than proven. Case, who's going to win this fight, and what's the key to victory? Because I want to say I like Velasquez convincingly, not even looking at the lines, but I know Silva's got that one punch where he could just take you down.
Yeah, I like Velasquez convincingly. If you look back almost exactly a year ago when I was just referring to that all-heavyweight card, these two actually fought there, and Cain just destroyed Bigfoot Silva, took him down, opened up one of the nastiest cuts I've ever seen in any combat sport, boxing or MMA. There was just blood everywhere, and Antonio Silva, the doctors waved off the fight, I think, less than 3 minutes into it. So this isn't really a rematch that I love, because I don't think that I don't think Bigfoot Silva has much of a chance. I think it's going to be maybe not the exact same, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cain finishes him again in the first round. And but while I criticize the match, that I don't really like it, Silva versus Velasquez, I also kind of understand where the UFC is coming from. Everything was built up for Overeem versus Cain, or Overeem versus Junior Dos Santos before that, and Overeem, of course, had his testosterone problems and got suspended. But then, so if everything is Overeem versus Velasquez, Overeem versus Velasquez, and then someone knocks out the guy that's supposed to fight Cain Velasquez, I guess you can't really fault him for sticking him in the slot.
Yeah, making arguments for Silva, Case, we're talking UFC 160, Saturday night, MGM Grand, right here on LasVegasSun.com. Sports Talk, I'm Ray Breaux alongside Case Kiefer, who's our MMA insider, our UFC beat writer. And Silva is about 3 or 4 inches bigger than Velasquez. They list Velasquez at 6'1", 240. I don't know if 6'1 is quite accurate, because I'm 6'1". I've interviewed him before, and I thought I was taller.
Me too.
Silva is – okay, Silva is 6'4", 265, and he's a tall glass of water, bro.
I mean, he cuts to get to 265.
Okay,
too.
He's
guy,
a big, big man.
He was actually born with the actual I don't know if illness is the right word, or disease or what, but gigantism. He's literally a giant. I mean, the guy is in just top physical condition. I mean, he looks great if you've ever seen him, but he walks around at like 295. He's just a beast. He's probably the biggest natural guy in the weight class, so he has to cut to get to 265. And I guess that size could mean something, but the problem is he's really pretty slow. He's got to be one of the slower top tier.
When you're that big.
Yeah, but that's a big problem against Cain Velasquez, who sometimes looks like he's as quick as a welterweight or something. I mean, he's one of the more athletic guys. Standout Arizona State wrestler before he got into MMA. And I don't see how Silva catches up with him, let alone gets on top of him, because Velasquez has this great wrestling pedigree. I think it goes back to what you said originally. If he's going to win, he's going to have to just catch him with a punch, which he does have some power, obviously, with that kind of size. And we've seen Cain go down to one punch against Junior Dos Santos the first time they fought. So I think that's, I might say, his only route to victory is, even if that sounds a little harsh, that's the only way I could see him winning here.
You mentioned Junior Dos Santos. He's the appetizer of sorts, fighting Mark Hunt in the fight before the Velasquez-Silva's bout. And I feel like if it were me, and if I had an eraser, I could just put Silva down to face Mark Hunt, who, as I told her, he looks – there's like three guys in the heavyweight division that, with their shirts off, look just like me. Roy Nelson, right?
Yeah.
Cormier.
I disagree a little.
Cormier looks good.
I mean, did you think he didn't? He doesn't look great, but he looked pretty. I don't think he looked bad in
that. So you're either saying
Mirror fight,
he looks good, or I look bad.
Well, no, I'm just saying I think Cormier looks a little bit more athletic than you, no offense. I mean, this is an Olympic wrestler. I don't think
I'm
really...
And Mark Hunt, though, looks like he's carrying around a spare tire.
Yeah, he does, for sure. Okay. But, I mean, the guy just such a high-level striker that he's been able to get away with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, he was on a 6-fight losing streak when the UFC bought Pride, which Pride owned his contract. Dana White comes to him and says, we're going to buy you out of your contract. The UFC never discusses financials, but who knows? It was probably a couple $100,000. They're going to give him that just to go away, not work, not do anything. And he said, no, I want to fight. And Dana's like, are you serious? Because the guy's not too impressive on paper. But they gave him a chance, and sure enough, I mean, he's just been unbelievable ever since. He lost his first UFC fight, but ever since then has won four in a row. The last two against really pretty high-level guys at the time, Stefan Struve and Chuck Congo. The Chuck Congo fight, everyone thought was a joke. I think Mark Hunt came in as like a 6-1 underdog, knocked him out in 2 minutes. Stefan Struve was a pretty good fight into the third round, but then Hunt knocked him out. And it's just one thing, you could look like that, but the guy's not actually in terrible shape. He doesn't really gas, and he has better one-punch knockout power than arguably anyone in the division. Maybe the only other person you could argue that for is Junior Dos Santos, who he happens to be fighting here.
And he's figured it out. One quick question, and then one observation. Do you think his original Pride contract expired now?
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure. There was actually, we should also mention, there was this fight was originally supposed to be Junior Dos Santos versus Alistair Overeem. We keep going back to him. Alistair Overeem's talked a lot about Junior Dos Santos, upset him. So they booked that fight. Alistair Overeem gets hurt. They need someone to fill in. And since Hunt was coming off that win against Struve, he seemed like the natural person to fill in. So they put Hunt in there. What was your original question? Now when I was trying to explain all that, I forgot.
No. That was my question. Then I had an observation, and I'm having a hard time finding the name. Who was the boxer from New Zealand that was good back in the day? Heavyweight, real low to the ground. Whew. I wanted to compare him to him, but now I can't. It's driving me crazy, and I can't figure it out.
I'm not sure who it is either. The thing is, he's probably a little bit different just because this guy never really did traditional just boxing. I mean, he's a really good kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can box too. He's not quite. I would say if this was a boxing match, though, he would be in trouble against Junior Dos Santos. Dos Santos is just an amazingly good boxer.
Yeah, I agree with you. The next fight on the card, Glover Teixeira against James Tanuihui.
Tahuna.
Another
Australian guy. Well, I guess New Zealand isn't Australia.
Yeah. Break this one down for us. They look even on paper, 6-2, 205 each, both with nice records, and it looks like it could go either way.
Glover Teixeira is actually a pretty big favorite in this one. The guy's on something ridiculous, like I want to say a 16-fight winning streak or something. He hasn't lost since 2005. He's undefeated in the UFC, just finished Rampage Jackson's career in the Octagon pretty unceremoniously. He was supposed to get that big step up against a wrestler this time and face Ryan Bader, but Bader gets hurt, which actually is too bad because I kind of liked Bader in an upset there. Not because I think he's better than Teixeira, just because I think the wrestling advantage was big. But in steps James Tahuna, who's on a 4-fight win streak of his own, 5-1 in the UFC. I think Tahuna could give him some trouble, but I'd ultimately be surprised if Teixeira didn't get the win here.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. The boxer I'm talking about, if anybody cares, is David Tua. He was called the Tua Man. He was real low to the ground. He was 5'10", 238. He was a heavyweight.
That's pretty close to what Mark Hunt is, I would guess.
Yeah,
right?
He was 52-4. And I'm trying to figure out, and he won bronze in the Olympics in Sydney. And I'm trying to figure out who he lost to. Not that it matters, but whenever I see big, low to the ground guys from New Zealand, I think of this boxer who I'd previously covered. The local boy is on this card as well, Gray Maynard, 12-1-1 all time, and it's an elimination fight against TJ Grant. And Maynard has been so close to the title, and now he's back in the picture again, but he's going to have his hands full, Case.
Yeah, TJ Grant dropped from 170 to the 155-pound division and has just been unstoppable ever since. The guy, I think, has won 4 in a row, maybe, and knocked out his last opponent, Matt Wyman, at the last Fox card. So TJ Grant, definitely a big challenge for Gray Maynard. He might probably has better just straight-up striking, I'd say, but Gray Maynard, we know, is a great wrestler. He's really developed his boxing game, too. The thing is, and I'm sure you would probably confirm this, I don't think a lot of the more casual fans that just watch a few pay-per-views a year have heard of TJ Grant. So this is a fight. Whoever wins is going to face Benson Henderson for the lightweight title. I got to think the UFC is kind of hoping that Maynard gets it done, because Maynard versus Henderson is still a pretty big fight with two pretty named guys. I don't think Henderson versus Grant is really going to do it. I think they'd have to stick that one on free TV, which they've been doing with their lightweight fights anyway. But I think for fan interest, it'd probably be a good thing if Maynard won.
I would agree with you. I still want to see Maynard against
Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
Again, fourth?
Why not?
Well, Frankie Edgar is at featherweight now, so it's going to be a little bit tougher.
Let him fight four more rounds. That's what I got. That's my opinion.
If they, I mean, a fourth would actually make sense, considering Maynard won the first time. The second time was a draw, and Edgar won the third time. The only reason I guess it would be a little tough is because Edgar did knock him out, so it was kind of a finality. It kind of had a finality to it, but I wouldn't be stunned if they fought for a fourth time someday. The thing is that people don't realize about that fight is Maynard just so much bigger than him. Maynard could really fight at welterweight with how big he is, when Edgar could really fight at bantamweight with how small he is. He's kind of a natural featherweight, which is where he is now.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UFC with Case Kiefer. Case, totally offline here. When is my guy going to fight that won the Ultimate Fighter?
Kelvin Gastelum?
No, the guy whose mom died or dad.
Oh, Mike Chiesa? He's fought once. He fought on the Ronda Rousey card.
Did he win?
He won. Had a tough first round and then came back and submitted a Swedish guy by the name of Anton Kuivainen, I believe. And I actually picked Kuivainen in the upset there. I think you picked Chiesa, though.
Yeah,
and I know he's got another fight lined up pretty soon. I believe it might be on the next Fox card, because he's actually from Washington, and the next Fox card is in Seattle. So a lot of times they like to give these guys close fights at their hometown. So I think in July in Seattle, it's going to be Michael Chiesa versus George Masvidal, who you would like George Masvidal too. This guy kind of got to the top reaches of the sport. He challenged for the Strikeforce title. The only guy in the UFC that can say this, do you know where he came from, what his background is?
Uh-uh.
He was kind of the standout in Kimbo Slice's backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting YouTube videos back in the day when that was popular. This guy would just beat up everyone. And somehow or another, they got him into an MMA gym in South Florida. They got him, taught him how to fight for real, and he made it, unlike his mentor, I guess, Kimbo Slice, who flamed out pretty quick.
I've got the fight sheet for this week from the UFC, and usually when I make my picks, we have a pick section on LasVegasSun.com. Four of us and
five.
Been, five?
Yep.
Five of us.
And check it out Wednesday or Thursday.
It's been pretty balanced. 1 year Kevin West from Channel 3 won. 1 year you won, right?
Yeah, and that's only 2 years I've done it. So we're those are the two champions so far.
And this year I'm typically in last place, and this year I'm in contention, and I've never printed out the bout sheet to look at the photos, and I fear that it's going to influence my decision making. Just on whichever fighter looks the meanest or the toughest or the more physical.
No, that's true. I don't know. This might be a bad deal for you. I don't know. Let's just pick like one random fight out.
Okay, well, let me tell you the guy that looks the best out of all of them.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Dennis Bermudez against Max Holloway. Bermudez 11-3, Holloway 7-1. And Bermudez looks like you could iron a shirt on his abs. Right?
Yeah.
Guy, and he's the underdog in the fight, though.
I honestly haven't seen the line for that. I don't think it's out yet. That's a heck of a fight. I got to think it's going to be pretty close to a pick'em. Holloway is a really, really good kickboxer, stand-up guy. Bermudez was a runner-up on The Ultimate Fighter. I think you probably actually interviewed Bermudez.
He
lost to the Brazilian guy, Diego Brandão.
What about the kid from New Mexico? The small little Mighty Mouse guy.
Oh, he was on the same season but a lower weight class. Oh,
okay.
So Dotson won that one. So he lost in the finals. Bermudez is coming off probably the fight of the year against Matt Grice, which he won a split decision that I disagreed with. I thought he lost. But I honestly could tell you right now, I don't know who I'm picking in that fight. I could see it going either way. And that might be a fight of the night candidate. Those two guys both really bring it usually.
Okay. And then here's a trivia question for you, Case. As you know, I'm always bad in pronunciating names. go with perfect. This one.
Oh, I'm probably not going to be able to do this.
Well, just
right.
Try.
I actually just voted. I probably might be the highest. I have this guy eighth in the lightweight division. He's 19-0. Came here from Russia. Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Could you imagine that kid in kindergarten?
I think they just. I think mainly I just hear him by the name Khabib. In kindergarten, well, he lived in Russia, so.
Well, you got to learn different. How to spell your name eventually. I don't care where
well,
you live.
I mean, he knows how to spell. Oh, I thought you were saying the people pronunciating
no,
his name.
How do you learn how to spell the last name? N-U-R-M-A-G-O.
I could get it right now without looking at it.
Go ahead.
You just
got
to sound it out. It's Nurmagomedov. So it's, all right, tell me if I'm right. N-U-R-M-A-G-O-M-E-D-O-V.
Not just a reporter, a bright man, Case Kiefer, LasVegasSun.com sports talk.
It's sounding out. Did you ever do that with your name, like Brewer?
Well, I got an easier name.
That's true, but still. Like,
Kambabadoff or some Polynesian high school football player that we have absolutely no chance
of. Well, those are tougher to me because we have a lot of, and this is no slight against the island football players. So we have a lot of great ones in Las Vegas, right? But those ones are tough for me because they have random apostrophes in there and like places you don't know. It could be like T-A apostrophe something, or it could be like T-A-I apostrophe, or the apostrophe could be one letter from the N. You never know.
You remember Vico Nehemiah?
Vico Nehemiah, of course.
Nehemiah.
Yeah.
He committed to Utah State. I wrote the story. I used the apostrophe in the headline, but nobody else used it.
Well, he definitely had an apostrophe, so I think you were right there. And how about, while we're just talking about high school sports, how about Gorman's baseball run coming to an end? I was there to see it.
Yes.
Coronado.
Put the fork in him. Coronado breaks Gorman's seven-year run. They win the state championship. Had to win two. They did. It took them 9 hours to win two. Case Kiefer was there for every one of the 9 hours.
Every one of the at-bats.
Did you eat
some pretty bad pitchings? I was actually... This is stupid and a whole other topic, but I was in a weight loss competition, so I was kind of cutting weight for the last 2 days. So the last glass of water I had for like 36 hours was in between the first and second games, which made it all the worse.
Las Vegas. And also, Randall Cunningham Jr. set a state record in the high jump.
By like 7 inches.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this guy...
The guy who took second, Jawan Major, would have won state like the last 10 years.
Yeah, I was sitting in the press box and someone brought it up like, oh, the state record was 6 inches or what? I know nothing about.
6 feet.
Six feet. And,
6 inches.
And he went like 7-1 or something. He
seven,
went like way
two
over
and a half,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the Major kid went like 6'5". And then Javion Taylor set the record in the 100 and the 200, I think, from Bonanza.
Ooh, he's going to have a bounce back year this football season.
Well,
I feel it.
Coach who embraces him and pushes him in the right direction.
Right.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk. We also do podcasts on the Sun website. And Case and I do Prep Sports Now. It's a high school show. And I just cannot wait because we really kind of let our hair down a little bit and have fun with that. Not like the Rebel Room that Taylor and I do where we're real formal.
Very serious.
Very serious. Taylor's a serious guy.
He is, as he sits in the corner filing a breaking
TV's
news story.
Writing a breaking story right now. He's going beard with the beard today. I don't know if it's temporary or if he's grown it out for the playoffs.
No, I've gotten a lot of female attention since going with the beard. So
really?
it's sticking around.
Wow.
I've been told I look better with it, so I'll believe anything I'm told.
I kind of like it.
You look great. LasVegasSun.com sports talk. We'll talk to you guys next week.